are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I invite you to journey with me to a new day. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. So join thousands of women and men from around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment. How does one go from having severe addictions, eating disorders, being suicidal, and even facing possible jail time to become a leading authority in helping others with the same type of addictions and same life issues? Today, this question and more will be answered. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Coffee, Conversations of Friends of Faith to Encourage and Equip. My name is Kim Crable, and I am your host today. You are going to be delighted with our guest. Her name is Beth Greco, CEO and president of the Hoving Homes. You're going to hear all about them. But what you're also going to hear is how Beth's incredible, incredible testimony and ministry of how God can rebuild shattered lives to bring His purpose. Hello, Beth. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Kim. It's great to be with you.
Oh, I'm so glad. Now, we have become friends. I've had the honor of going into the Hoving Homes a couple of times with my Burdens of Blessings, and I always appreciate the fact, anytime you call, to be able to go into the homes and to meet and minister to the ladies there. But, you know, maybe a lot of people today are not really aware of the Hoving Homes. So let's start there, Beth, and tell us about the Hoving Homes.
Okay, the Hoving Homes started in 1967. Was birthed out of a vision of our founders, John and Elsie Benton, who really just had a heart to help women. He came to Brooklyn, New York to work with David Wilkerson on the streets with drug addicts and prostitutes. And out of that, really had a vision for a home outside of the city that would be a safe haven for women to come, learn about Jesus, and have their lives transformed. It's really as simple as that. And so since 1967, over 26,000 women have entered our doors and have had opportunity to learn about Jesus, to have their lives transformed. So what we do is we just provide this loving community, really devoted into rebuilding and empowering women to fulfill their God-given purpose. And we have locations in New York, which was our first, Garrison, New York. We're also in Pasadena, California. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada, and we're in Oxford, New Jersey. And last year, so we're a year, we're so excited, our first women and children dorm was birthed at our New York location. It's been an exciting time. I've been with the organization about 30 years, and so have really just kind of sit on the front row of what God can do for people that surrender.
Absolutely. Give me that number again. That was an astonishing number of how many women have come through the homes. What was that number again?
Over 26,000 have walked through our doors.
That is amazing to me, because that each person represents obviously a life, a heart, which represents a family, a home. So it's just amazing how that number multiplies from each woman who walks through your home. So I've been in the home in Garrison in New York, and I mean it's just a fabulous home. And then New Jersey, I've met some of the ladies. I've driven by the homes out west, but I haven't actually gone into those homes, so I'm anxious to do that. So Beth, tell us. Tell us about your position in the homes. What is your role?
My role currently, so I'm CEO president and made that transition in 2016 when our founder of the organization had to step down for health reasons. And so I've been leading the organization for, I guess, going on 4 years now. It seems like it's flown by. But before that, I had worked many of the different positions, different jobs within the ministry. But right before that, had been the business manager. And just really have had some incredible opportunities to do a lot of different jobs and be in involved in a lot of different pieces of the overall ministry.
Mm-hmm. Now, does this mean you travel to all the homes, the four homes?
I do. I travel to the West Coast normally about once a month. You know, right now we can't do that, but normally about once a month, and have the privilege of just being able to be on site, meeting with our incredible partners who allow this to happen for our women to have an opportunity, and then just having moments with the students as I teach and share with them about what God can do.
I'll tell you what, it is a life-changing experience. Every time I walk in, you know, you never know exactly what you're walking into because things are changing. They are growing and they're changing. And so just a few times I've been in, I've walked out. When you walk into one of these homes, you know that you're in the midst where ministry is really needed. It's not just it's not fluff and stuff. It's not just words. I mean, you feel like every word matters. You're on high guard of really seeking God and knowing that every word has a, you know, is a ministry word, and you feel you all have done such a good job of just kind of, you hold them so accountable, which I'd like to talk about that later, but you hold them so accountable, but they, you just see the sponge in them of just wanting to soak up, and it's more different than I've ever. And I've gone into lots of places, there's something really different there. It is truly every moment is a ministry. And so I can't imagine the joys and the drain that must put on you in dealing with all that. So let's talk about that just a minute. How do you, as an administrator, how do you handle that emotionally?
I think you have to come to the point where you recognize, for me, I'm not the owner of this, that I'm only a steward of it, that God owns this, and God loves the women more than I do, and that basically what we offer is an opportunity to change, an opportunity to be transformed, and in that opportunity, there are some things that the ladies have to do. There are some issues that they have to work on. You know, our first 30 days is compassionate care. It is a bed to sleep in, food to eat, a loving community to be a part of, and just kind of settling in. And then after that, you know, hard work really begins. And we have a strong biblical curriculum that they have to go through. They're involved in career readiness programs. They have job areas, really just helping them have what we call kind of we're in the bubble, but we're trying to give them real life experience. We try to give them decisions to make. And if they don't make the right decision, let's coach them through that, because life is really hard, even outside of addiction. It's just really hard. And so, you know, we minister to so many different type of women. We minister to women that come from households that are only in the nightmares of most of our dreams. And and they come from horrible homes. And then we minister to women that come from homes that they're well-loved, they're well taken care of, their life just veered off. And so I think that what happens is people have to be careful not to think that addiction, that there's one way to fix everyone, and there's one curriculum, and there's one that's addiction is messy and tricky. And I think for us that have been doing it for a long time, we just have to determine that we're going to set our feet in Jesus, that we're going to rely on him for strength, and we're going to recognize that there are some losses in the recovery world. And there are some ups and there's some downs. And until we're able to emotionally handle that, it can be a really wearing kind of process. But whenever I have a hard day, whenever I think I can't do this anymore, I hear of another death, which are pretty often in our world, I just look at the ones that are doing amazing. I look at the Emilys who have gotten married, own their own home, have beautiful children now. I look at the Mariahs who has got her own business now and is serving Jesus, and she goes into the jails and ministers to women, and she's got a husband, and she's got kids, and I just remember those, and I say, that's why it's worth it. It's worth it because Jesus can change a life. I can't control if they accept the opportunity or not. I can only give them the opportunity to have this amazing experience in Christ. So that's how I do it.
I'll tell you what, and that is right there. That's the lesson for all of us, is to really take the pressure off of ourselves. And, you know, one of the things that has been said about burdens and blessings that I love, and I think about that because of what you said. One lady said to me, she said, "Kim, I describe it like this. You walk them to the door, then they choose whether or not to go through the door." And that's kind of what you're saying there. It's like you provide the opportunity, the open door of everything that's there. But we each have to make that own decision. No one can do that or force us into it, guilt us into it, or anything else. I've had my own addictions. I lived with someone, my father, who was had a strong addiction. So it is a horrible nightmare. So many times starts out in such a secret way until it does shatter your life. And so I feel like more than any show I've ever done, and this is a perfect timing because, Beth, we're in a place right now, as you know, with this coronavirus where we're feeling shattered, we're feeling alone. You know, the enemy is coming at our brains. I did this thing called Coffee Live, where I do a 30-minute devotional each morning. And I talked about how we have to not trust our feelings and stand on our faith right now, because our feelings are like shifting sand, and our feelings are, you know, we feel alone. And the enemy really takes advantage of that, doesn't he? He comes in and he plays with our mind, and he makes us feel like that we can't. And you know about that because you weren't always in administration, were you? You weren't always CEO. How did you get involved in the Hogan Homes?
Well, I got involved because I needed help. I was a 21-year-old drug addict, had been raised in a really great family in the state of Texas, really had a great upbringing in the Bible Belt, went to church. You know, my family loved me, but, you know, I just had been introduced to drugs at a young age, and it really kind of shifted something inside of me. It made me feel less insecure. It caused me to feel more powerful, more in control. And that's the lie of addiction. And I was a shy girl. It made me outgoing. I mean, so it did so many things that I thought I was supposed to be. And then my life just I went to college, and from there my life just got, I mean, it was a train wreck. I was in psychiatric hospitals. I had a bad drug hit that really messed up my brain, and suffered for 3 years through a heavy addiction every day. Unless I was in jail or had gone into a hospital, I was drinking or using drugs. My life was a mess. And I was sitting in a psychiatric hospital. I was 21 years old. It was 2 weeks before Christmas. I knew I wasn't going to get out. We were discussing with the doctors about extended care, which means I would be there for a really, really long time. And a pastor showed up that I had been in youth group. And he heard I was in there. And he said, "I think I found somewhere that might can help you." And then through a series of miracles, I ended up on an airplane on my way to Garrison, New York, not really understanding exactly where I was coming, but this was kind of a last-ditch effort for me. And because at this point, I didn't really believe I could get well. I mean, I had tried a lot of things. But I'll tell you, I got off that airplane, picked up by some staff members. We were driving to Garrison, New York. And when we turned on the property, you talked about it a little earlier. When we turned on the property, hope ignited in my heart. There was a presence here that, being in church my whole life, I never felt. And I think it comes from a deep desperation of the women that come to us, you know, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. And and so there was just this presence of Jesus, and there was hope ignited in my heart in that moment. And I just grabbed hold of the opportunity, and when I got finished with the program, I had to go back and serve some jail time from a crime I committed before I came in. And while I was in jail, the founder wrote me a letter and said, hey, when you get out, come back and work for me. I think you're supposed to work for me. I got out of jail, got on a bus, came to New York, and started my journey working here in 1990. It's the end of 93. And that kind of has been my story. I've just walked through open doors that the Lord did. I allowed him to change my life. I allowed him to go to deep places. And I think the moment that I did that, everything changed. So I really struggled a lot in my addiction with, I would always be like this, you know, once an addict, always an addict. I mean, we've heard it said 1,000 times. I actually think that when you come to know Christ, you redefine that. And for me, if you take that acronym, A, alive in Christ, D, I'm delivered by his hand, D, I'm determined by faith, I, I'm incredible by design, C, I'm covered by the blood, and T, I'm transformed by his grace. So I'm an addict redefined by the power of Christ. And that, to me, has made all the difference. You know, you said earlier we're in a time where everybody's isolated. That's so true. And somebody once said that the opposite of addiction is community and connection. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some real truth in that. I think that that's one of the dangers of the time that we're in right now with COVID-19 is that support groups have stopped, church has stopped, and people are really isolating themselves. So I just encourage your audience to pray for those in recovery. What a tough time this is for people to feel alone. And but I haven't felt alone since Jesus stepped into my life. I just really, like a child, accepted he was with me, and that has taken me through almost everything I've been through. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for a home like this and that it was open to me. So that's how I got here. After years of just kind of walking this journey.
Yeah, well, Beth, we've talked and we've worked together and ministered together. I've never heard you speak it. I've read, seen you on different TV shows, and this weekend I was scanning through some things. But I'll tell you what, you have the same passion that you first told it with, or when I saw years ago. I mean, the passion of what you're doing is so real, and that comes from what you know Christ has done for you and just the possibility of what you want him to do for others, isn't it? I mean, it's so alive. I sense it. I feel it in you.
Yeah, it is. And one of the first verses we memorize here is Luke 1:37. And it took me 30 days to memorize this, at least 4 to 6 weeks. I worked on this one verse because we have to memorize a lot of scripture when we come through the program. And it says, nothing is impossible with God. And, you know, on days when it feels impossible, nothing is impossible with God. And so I use scripture to battle everything in my life. And I just that has changed me. And it changes our women. For them to have that, I call it a light bulb moment. Something clicks on, their eyes light up, and they're like, I believe what that says. And then that changes everything. You know what the word does.
Absolutely. You know, it goes back to the example of Jesus in the wilderness. He used the word. And that's one of the things that we try to do here is that, you know, it's to remind women, you can't try to get clever with the enemy. You can't be coy. It's just that you got to use the word. That's the ammunition. That's the only thing that will penetrate or stop these fiery darts. And it's the only thing that can truly come in and heal from the inside out. Well, Beth, we're going to do, listen, you've already encouraged so many people. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. And we're just getting started. I knew our time was going to go by so fast, but what you've given us, but what you did say there is something I want to go back. I want to go back to how you used addict. I want to go back to those points because I want everybody to be able to write those down. I feel like that's too important to miss. So we're going to take a 30-second break, and then we're going to come back, and I am going to callers, if you're out there, if you would like, and I know you are, but if you have a question, a lot of times we don't know how to form the question until we hear everything, and I get that, and so I'll give you the opportunity to write in questions later. or how to reach Beth. But if you have a question and you would like to ask Beth, please feel free to call us after our break. It's 347-324-5246. Press 1, and you will be speaking to our executive director, and then she will let me know to bring you on live. So when you first call in, you won't be on air, so you don't have to worry about that. But she'll tell you exactly what to do. So 347-324-5246, press 1. If you have someone in your family that you're worried about, if you have a secret addiction, no one will know who you are, you would just like to know how to get help. If you just need a Bible scripture for hope, if you just need Beth to pray for you, whatever you need, please call us right after this 30-second commercial. Beth will be right back.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Coffee with Kim. I'm so delighted that you've joined us today. Before we get back to our guests, I'd like to remind you that you can watch our Coffee with Kim TV series on NRB TV or on Inspiration TV. Right now, we have many testimonies running live that you would be able to just hear God's hope for whatever is the hurts in your life or those around you. We're also hosting the Burdens of Blessings transformational message of where your pain truly can find a purpose. So look for us on Inspiration TV or NRB TV. Also, we'd like you to know that as soon as that we can travel again, our Burdens of Blessings transformational messages will be returning to cities near you. So look for us there. We will be rescheduling. Also, if you'd like to schedule, we would love to come to your area. Contact Karen at kimcrable.org. Also, I'd just like to remind you that each morning I do a live on Facebook, www.facebook.com/roses and rainbows. Join us. You have a voice there. We are friends who gather to encourage and equip one another daily. Also, you can visit our website at kimcrable.org. We would love to have you be a part. Not only we would love that, we are stronger by having you a part. The more of us who are together, the more we can encourage and equip one another. All right, so let's get back to our show. And Beth Greco, who was with the Hubbing Homes, and what an incredible ministry this has had. Well, she said over 26,000 people have come through that home. There are 4 homes across the U.S., and Beth is the CEO and president of it. You heard how she began her ministry through this by being an addict herself. And I will tell you, Beth and I have become friends, done some ministry together. And, Beth, I cannot even imagine seeing you sitting in a jail cell. I can't even imagine the depth of pain and the depth of that despair that you had to have been in. But I do know the hope of Christ that you have experienced. And that's what keeps us going, isn't it?
That is what keeps us going. And, you know, I look back all those years ago, and I think the farther you get away from your old life, it feels like you're watching someone else's story because it's so foreign to what Christ has done. That's how he completely transformed. And so for me, it feels like I'm telling someone else's story sometimes because I'm so different today than I used to be. Yeah. I'm so grateful for that. So very grateful.
You know, and I know exactly what you mean because sometimes I will even say to myself, Are you sure that happened? You know, like I have that question because it does seem so long ago. But I always too ask God to help me to remember the pain, and you probably do too, so that I can keep that passion, so I can connect you as well. Like I don't want to completely I've never really asked to be completely healed because I want to remember the pain because I feel like that people can see it in my eyes when I'm sharing with them. They can see that hurt. But they long for the hope. We live on the hope side, but we never forget what God has truly done in our lives. And
That's right.
It keeps us just loving him that much more. So, Beth, let's go into the attic. I loved, and I was trying to write it down. I thought, nope, I'm not even going to try to go through that so quickly because I wanted to go through that again because I want our listeners to be able to grab that because, boy, that's some healing words there. So let's start with A and walk us through that.
Okay. So A is kind of the it's alive in Christ. You know, when you're in addiction, you just feel dead all the time. And you know, when Christ comes into your life and transforms it, you're alive. You start to feel things again. Granted, a lot of those things are hurtful because you've got so much to process through, but at least you're feeling again.
Yeah.
And so for me, alive in Christ, and, you know, the word talks about that we're alive in him. We celebrated Resurrection Day yesterday, Easter, and he's alive. He lives in me. He's alive in me. So alive in Christ. And so that's the A.
So let's stop right there for just a minute. What if I don't know that he's alive in me? Because that's important. Well, we can't go to the rest of these until we. So let's just say that there's someone listening and they're going, I don't know what that means. Could you explain to our friends, what does that mean to be alive in Christ and how do they make that happen?
It just means that we've accepted that he died. He rose again,
yeah.
and that he's living, and that he's for us and not against us, and he's walking this journey with us. And as a mm-hmm. believer, and if you're not a believer today, it's very easy. You just confess that you sinned, and if you're an addict mm-hmm. listening right now, you know that's true, that's not a far stretch, but you confess that you're a sinner, and you accept you accept what he's done on the cross, that has given you forgiveness of sins, and then you begin to surrender and walk in that. Now, that's not an easy process, and it doesn't mean we're perfect. It means we're just walking towards a goal. We're just walking in this thing. And I mean, I've been saved, you know, going on 29, 30 years now, and you know, I still blow it. But I'm walking towards the goal. I'm walking towards him. And then alive just means that he lives in us. It means that he sent his spirit after the resurrection, he's in his spirit to live within us. So it gives us the power to change and the power to live.
Yeah.
I tried to overcome my addiction by myself. I did. I tried a lot of programs. I tried a lot of things. Reality is until somebody that had the power to transform me, until I surrendered to that, I really struggled with changing myself. And I've learned as a believer that in surrender, there's real victory. And so we're alive. We're alive today.
Thank you so much for that because I believe that so many times we do try to do it on our own and we fail. And I feel like that's where that spiral, I think that's where we get into the hopelessness, don't you? It's like because
Absolutely.
We try on our own. And so a huge point there, listeners, is that you, as you invite Christ into your life, not only as he enters, everything about him enters into you, including his power. And Beth, the Bible tells us that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, which we've just celebrated Easter, is the same power that resides in us. So that's the power that we have to call upon with these addictions.
That's right. That's right. And we do call, and when we call upon him, he shows up. That's the great thing about this loving God that we serve.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Okay, so A, the first A is alive in Christ. D.
Okay. D, delivered by his hand. You know, this is by his hand. My whole life of being able to walk out of addiction into a new life has been because he did it. Delivered by his hand. We saw it with Moses and in the Red Sea. That should have never happened, and it did because his hand moved. I should not be sitting where I am today, but I am because his hand moved. And so he set all this in motion for me, and so I'm delivered. I'm changed. I'm delivered. And so it's by his hand, though, and I recognize that and I proclaim that because this just like what we said, I tried by myself. But it took him making some drastic moves and moving mountains for me to even be able to step on the property of a place that could help me. It took a miracle, and I was delivered.
Yeah, and I think that is the secret. The Bible says that we will be strengthened by his hand, delivered by his hand, you know, and then it's his hand. And, you know, here's the thing, listener, today, you know, you're sitting there and you're in addiction. You're thinking, you know, no one knows about it and it's silent. Think about it is Christ does. And the same hand that delivers, the same hand that strengthens, is the same hand of Matthew 11:28 that's outstretched that says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. You're broken, addicted, and I will give you rest. And, you know, so many times, don't you think, Beth, so many times we just see God as a punishing God and a condescending God, you know, a bully God. But that is not the God that we serve. He is the one that says, calls us unto himself because he gets our addictions and he knows how we got there. And many times we didn't set out to be in addictions. We were probably trying to overcome a deep hurt of our heart. So he understands, and I love the picture of his hand. That's just a beautiful analogy for me, a beautiful truth. Yeah. So thank you for that. So alive in Christ, uh-huh. Delivered by his hand.
And then determined by faith. I mean, sometimes you just have to believe. There are moments where it just does not feel like you can get there. It doesn't feel like things can change. But you have to get really determined. You have to get resolute in your faith. You know, I just believe. I believe him for big things. I believe him for great things. And when it doesn't look like it, I'm just determined that I'm going to sit in the place of faith. And to the world, that looks foolish, Kim. It does. It looks foolish. But to Christians, we know that we can do that because he that is within us is greater than he that is in the world. So I just sit there. And I sit in a place of faith as often as I remind myself to sit there in really hard times. So determined by faith. Yeah. I'll never turn back because I have faith in Jesus.
And it's almost like Abraham when he didn't believe, he chose to believe. Against all hope, he hoped. Against all hope,
That's right.
You do in your mind. You do. You have to take that stand. At you know, being the owner of a nonprofit, there's so many times where you just have to. You take that stand that what you need is going to come, or the helpers that you need, or whatever it is, and. To me, it's almost like where you go from believing in Jesus, which is the first step, to truly just believing him, that you believe his word, you believe. And that does. It becomes determined by faith. And for any of the listeners out there today, I would you're hearing Beth by faith walk and what she's done. I also invite you to go to Hebrews 11 and read there how people who were determined by their faith, the great works that they were able to do. So, this is determined by faith. All right, that's great. Yeah, this is
and
good.
And Kim,
yeah,
during this COVID-19, during this COVID-19 stuff, you know, as a nonprofit, we could kind of freak out. But I tell you, the Lord has been so faithful. But right before he started, I was reading in 2 Chronicles. And so right in the beginning of people getting sick and a sheltering in place, and we're in New York and the New Jersey tri-state, which has been hit the hardest. So we've been sheltering in place. Actually, today is a month that we have sheltered in place at all of our homes. Unfortunately, no one's gotten sick. But I was in 2 Chronicles, and I was in it was in chapter 20, end of chapter of verse 12 in chapter 20 of Chronicles there, 2 Chronicles. It says, even though this horde is coming against us, we don't know what to do, but my eyes will be on you. That has been, for me, the steady and peace through this whole time. I don't know what to do. This is way beyond my pay grade, I guess, this situation.
Yeah.
But my eyes are fixed on you. And that's where we've been sitting as a ministry. So I love 2 Chronicles 20:12. And even if it's coming against us, we don't know what to do, but my eyes will stay fixed on you, determined by faith.
That's one of my favorite scriptures, the words of King Jehoshaphat. I love them. It's like the battle is too big, you know. And the thing of it is, when he called those people to prayer, then it goes on to talk about how the whole nation, you know, turned to prayer. And, you know, I believe as separate identities as we turn to prayer, it causes other people to do that very same thing. Just the example of that, it being determined by our faith is, you know, it's one thing for us to show our faith when things are going great, right? But like you said, in times like this, when it's really hard, and for people at home that these addictions, the thought of addictions are trying to encompass their mind, the downward spiral is going. That's why I did the teaching this morning on feelings. Our feelings can lead us astray and lead us into these addictions and make us think, oh, I'll just try it one more time, or I'm going to hide it another day or whatever. It's the first part that determined just to be able to tell someone and to talk about it. So, okay, well,
that's right.
This is great. And I know the pens are going, the people who are lighting and callers. I'll remind you, callers, if you do have a question, you can call in at 347-324-5246. And be sure and press 1, though. I know there's a lot of people on the line, but be sure and press 1 so that we know that you actually have a question or comment to Beth. All right, Beth, so we have ADD. What is I?
I is incredible by design. Psalm 139 tells us, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And you know what? Addiction does not make that verse void. It is true for all of us. And I'm incredible by design. My life didn't look incredible. But I was designed in this incredible image of God. And I think that identity is been sabotaged. It has been attacked in our world. The enemy has used it. But our identity is set. We are incredible by design. His hands formed us. And if we could really grab hold of that, I think so much changes. When we know that from the beginning, he designed us. So that for me was really important to kind of put in that acronym, that from the beginning, my life was designed by a loving Father.
And nothing or no one can separate you from that love and that design.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Take us into the mindset, though, Beth, when you were sitting in that jail cell and addicted and at your lowest point. How did that, you know, how did you feel about yourself then? To know where you are now, I mean, take us into the mindset of that addict for just a minute and connect with some of those who are listening to us right now.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely felt lousy about myself. I mean, I cut myself off from my family. I had, you know, anyone that loved me, I had destroyed. I had betrayed. Mm-hmm. I felt lousy about myself. I mean, I can remember just not even wanting to get up every morning. And I tried to kill myself numerous times. I had multiple suicide attempts, and I remember waking up in ICUs with either my dad or my mom standing over me and just thinking, why didn't I die? I wasn't excited that I had lived. I just wanted it to be over. And I think when you get in that place, other people have to step in and help at that point. I mean, and for me, it wasn't necessarily my family, even though I knew they loved me, because there was some hard truths that needed to be said to me too. And, you know, I had to come to the place where hearing truth became more important than feeling good. And then I found that as I healed, I began to feel better. I think that, you know, we think that we should, you know, our feelings should be at the utmost important place. I actually don't believe that. I tell the students all the time in our programs, I'm not here to make you happy. I'm here to help you become holy. And sometimes that doesn't feel good. And so for me, I just think that moment of desperation, when I got to a place of a turning point, I had to make a choice of serving Jesus or staying in my addiction. It's just that intersection of choice, isn't it? The easier way would have been to stay in it, because coming out of addiction, that it's not an easy path that we choose. I just got to the point where I just said, I'm not going to believe lies anymore. I don't know what's true and what's not in my own head. So I'm going to look at people that have success in this area and I'm going to listen to truth. And that's kind of what I did. Mm-hmm. I just kind of rode the coattails of other people that were successful in recovery until I was successful mm-hmm. in recovery. I remember telling the director of our program at the time, I was early in my recovery, and I said, you know, I don't believe that I can change. I am so broken. You don't understand. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that I can change. And she looked at me and she said, you may not believe it, but I'm going to believe it for you. And so you just hang on. And I did.
Oh, my gosh.
And I did. And you know, when I'd have moments where I was ready to give up, she's like, I'm believing it for you. And, you know, at some point it became my belief that I was incredible by design.
You know, and you know, you just spoke to a lot of parents out there who want their kids to believe so much, or a wife who wants her husband to believe. What an incredible thing for them to be able to say to that person that they love, you may not believe in you right now, but I do. And that's enough. Yeah, that's enough right there to cause one to pause and to really think about that. So incredible by design. And one of the things that I thought about there, have you seen the movie Overcomer? If you haven't, it's an incredible movie.
Mm-hmm.
You did? You know how they go with it? It's all about identity. So anybody that's out there today, you know, you can go into the book of Ephesians 1 through 3 and just circle all the things that God says that you are. Loved, his son, his child, forgiven, you know, and you see your identity in Christ, and that will, you know, help you to come back to this I that you really have been designed incredibly by your Heavenly Father. And that's probably one of the first steps, is being able to come back and see that. Okay, alive in Christ, delivered by his hand, determined by faith, incredible by design, and see.
Covered by the blood.
One of my favorites.
It was the blood that was shed for forgiveness of my sins. When I didn't deserve it, he did it anyway. And accepting that is really a turning point for people that want to believe in Christ, or that have that decision to make in front of him, covered by his blood. And you know, that means that I still am today. I'm protected by him. I'm covered by him. He is not, it doesn't mean I go willfully sin, but that means mm-hmm. that when I do something that's not pleasing to him, I'm still covered. I repent and mm-hmm. I'm forgiven. And so that for me just brings great hope.
And
great
it's just
hope.
That easy for the people who try to make it so hard. It's that easy. You repent and you're forgiven. And that's, you know, one of my sayings is, because you know how the enemy will like to hold your past or the way that you've fallen or mistakes. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that my girls know, and they get tickled, I always say, if you mess up, fess up and keep on going. You know, if you
mess up,
truly confess, but then don't let yourself or others hold it against you. What you have to do is more important than sitting and arguing about it. Fess up, fess up, and keep on going. It reminds me of the scripture of Ephesians 2:9. It begins in 2:8 for anyone who's listening, when she talks about the sea being covered by the blood. And we've just heard all about this during the Easter, but this will, people will be hearing this podcast way beyond this Easter season. So the scripture, Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God. And that's what Beth was just talking about. It's a gift. It's something that you can receive. It's extended to you. Verse 9 goes on to say, not by works. There's not enough work that you can do to earn this gift. It is a free gift so that no one can boast. And then verse 10, one of my favorites, and it goes back to the identity of incredible design. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You know, and those good works, where is it? Somewhere in Hebrews it says that our gifts and our talents are irrevocable. So it doesn't matter what type of addiction or what type of mess you've gotten yourself into. God doesn't see you any differently other than one that he is calling back, like the prodigal son, to come back so that we can continue, we can be healed, and we can be continued of the good works that he prepared in advance for us to do. And that's I think that's a beautiful hopeful thing for all of us to think about, is that God never gives up on us.
That's right. That's right. Never.
Never. So covered by the blood, and like you said, that's continual. That's our covering. That's sealed by the Holy Spirit. And then our final T
is transformed by His grace. One of the things that I have learned in my journey with Him is that He loves me and that His grace is extended to me. And years ago, I heard someone say, you know, that no matter what I do, He cannot love me less. But no matter what I do, Kim, He cannot love me more. And I think that for people that try to prove that they can earn this, there's just this thing of, oh, if I do this, He'll love me more. He just loves us. And so when we accept that, grace is this unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. But we can be transformed by it if we accept it. And so I just try to walk in that space, because I can be an overachiever. I can be a workaholic now. I can be somebody that find myself in this pattern of having to prove that I can do these things. And I have to always sit back and say, you know, what am I trying to do here? He loves me. He gives me enough for the assignment for today. He walks this thing with me. So why am I burning myself out and overworking when He has, if I listen to Him every day, if I set my course with Him every day, God's not burnt out. He never will be burnt out, because He sees the bigger picture. He sees that this is a marathon, not a sprint. And so in that process, I can be transformed by grace, because oftentimes if I am trying to do it in my own strength, I blow it anyway, no matter how good my intentions are, no matter how much I think I can control things. But when I sit in this place called grace, when I take the time I need to rest, I'm learning a lot about the Sabbath over the last year, that it is just as important as working hard. Because the Sabbath is where I get recharged every week, that I'm reminded of His grace. I'm reminded that He thinks that rest is just as important as work, and He designed it that way. So learning more about Him allows me to expand my ability to sit in His grace, and that's what I mean by transformed by His grace, is knowing Him more allows me to sit in that place, because I know more of His love, more of His peace, more of His joy, and I think that's the place of true grace.
Yeah, absolutely. To where you don't feel like you have to earn it. You can just rest in it.
I
love that.
We don't understand it, and we won't until we're in His presence. We won't understand that true exchange. We're human. Right. We don't get that. But one day we'll know. We'll know what He meant fully by that moment.
Absolutely. So Beth, man, you've just given so much information out, and I know this is going to help so many people. But let me ask you this. You know, we have lots of people who are listening that are in the midst of addictions, and they're silent addictions, and whether it be eating disorders or alcohol or pornography or, you know, just the addiction of bad behavior, you know, and they're in there, and they're not literally sitting in a jail cell, but they're sitting in a spiritual prison.
That's
and
right.
They really don't even know where to go with it, but it's rotting them from the inside out, the hurt and the pain and the disgust. That was one of the things that, you know, just disgusted with themselves. What would you take just a few minutes and just speak to them from your heart about giving them hope today?
Okay. First of all, I'd say there is hope. And there are people that are able and ready to help you. And that, I don't lie to anybody, the journey is going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But if you will walk through that journey, there is hope, there is renewal. And if the only thing that changes is time, that you think that in a week it's going to be better, if nothing changes in that week, you won't be better in a week. You know, and so if the only thing that makes progress is time, so take the moments of your day, reach out for help, don't be afraid. And then I would tell you, and I know that people say, but I've tried to get help and there's nowhere they can help me. Don't quit trying. You know, it took me years to get help, and some of our women have been doing this for a lot of years and trying. I think the only time you lose is when you give up. So don't give up. Keep trying. Mm-hmm. And there are places. And for those families that have people struggling in addiction that are Christians, don't give secular worldview solutions. There are Christian programs for help all over this nation. Go onto our website, hovinghome.org, teenchallengeusa.com has programs for men and women and teens, boys and girls and women with children and families. 283, I think, centers across the U.S. right now for long-term. There is short-term Christian help, Salvation Army, the Rescue Mission Association, CityGate. Mm. Don't give up. There are so many resources. And if people don't give you the answer you want on the first call, make a second call. Make a third call. Make a fourth call. Don't give up. There is hope. And you have fought in this addiction. You might have to fight walking into your recovery. It's not going to come easy. And I think that that's the myth, that this is easy. Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing easy about it. But, man, it is worth it to walk this journey and to walk this battle. And then if you're a Christian and you turn your life over to Jesus, now you have a warrior fighting for you. And so, but don't give up and don't try to do it alone. There is freedom that comes in exposure. Expose it. Yeah. Say, I can't do this alone. I need help. Confession brings power. Confess it and then find people that can help you. Just don't give up. And that's what I would say, Kim, is I know people get weary. I know families get exhausted trying to help their loved ones, but don't give up. Yeah. You know, just when the caterpillar thought the world was over, it became a butterfly. You know, the greatest things come at the end of the greatest trials if we just don't give up.
It reminds me of the scripture of Galatians. Well, and that's the word. Don't give up. I mean, you know, find someone that you can talk to. And you talked about, you know, it's when you speak it, you know, you lose the shame and the guilt. I mean, you can just being able to share with someone. I remember the first time I shared my hurts, Beth. I'll never forget it. I had spent my life running from all of my pains, my addictions, my, you know, my abuse. I just spent so many years, and I feel like this, because I do this Birds of Blessings, I was doing it every other week all across the nation. And I know the men and the women and even the teens who are running from, and they have these addictions and they have these hurts and they have these pains. And most of the time addictions come from some deep unhealed hurt that's in our heart. And yeah, we're trying to cover it up. We're trying our best to deal with it on our own. You know, but we can't. Life is just too big, and the hurts can be too. The only a loving God can take that and heal it, but He can. But I'll never ever forget. And for someone who's listening, I really want you to understand everything that Beth has said. But to put my personal spin on it is, I'll never forget when I finally, you know, Beth. So many times people will say, "Now, oh my gosh, Kim, you're so courageous in your faith. You're so," and I said, "You know, I'm not courageous. I became desperate." I got to the point where I was so desperate. I was so tired of hurting. I was so tired of trying to put on the pretty shoes or have the latest style or know what to say. You know, I was so tired of darting my eyes away from people, so afraid that they were going to see it. You know, you get to the point where you just, you know, the Bible says that there's more, that Christ not only came to give us life, but the abundant life. You know, I was barely living life. And it sounds like the same with you, Beth. And it's the same with a lot of our listeners today. We're not really living life. We're letting life toss us to and fro. But God says that once we turn to Him, we are more than conquerors. And
that's right.
So I remember when I first just gave up. I just said, I've got to invite some people. I've got to tell somebody. And here's the thing, and this we experience this. I know you experience it all the time, Beth, where you are. I experience it all the time with the Burdens of Blessings conferences, is that once you find the courage, and it does take courage, but once you find the courage to speak your hurt or your pain to a live person, to a pastor, to a friend, to someone that you trust, a Sunday school teacher, once you speak it, and you look into someone's eyes who receives that without any condemnation, with just that compassion that I promise you that you'll get, it is amazing how at that moment healing begins in your life just by speaking. Right, Beth? Just by speaking.
That's right.
You start the journey.
Yeah. You don't feel so alone.
Exactly.
and when we don't feel alone, something happens.
Yes. Well, and I'll tell you, one of the things that happens, I believe the enemy loses his power because it's no longer
Absolutely.
In the darkness. We have exposed it to the light. And I'm just friends that are out there that are contemplating going back into addiction, who are feeling lost because you've lost your job, you can't see your loved ones. You know, what Beth said, don't turn back. She said, I will never, ever turn back. So don't turn back. Keep going. If you've never told anyone, then please, this is a great time to begin a healing journey. And one of the things that I love about Beth so much is that, Beth, you speak it, but you speak it because you lived it. You walked it before you were able to talk it. And for the listeners out there, I want you to know that, God can use what you've walked through too, just like He has with Beth. Let Him heal you, so that you can become a voice of hope like Beth has to many people around you. Right, Beth? You can use everything we've gone
through. Absolutely. Absolutely. And your audience out there, please know if you need help finding a place, a referral, please contact us. We have referral networks. Please let us know. We'll do all we can to help.
Yes, and will you tell them, Beth, how do they reach out to you? How do they contact you?
Okay,
by
phone. Yeah, my phone is 877-247-5401, 877-247-5401, or by on our web, hovinghome.org, hovinghome.org. And it has all our phone numbers, all our locations, and we will do our best to help you or those that you love find somewhere that can help you.
Absolutely. Well, Beth, thank you again so much for being on the show. The time goes by so fast. But gosh, the scriptures, the hope that you've given. And I think about the scriptures. I think about you and what you're doing. And listener, what our lives can be. 2 Corinthians 1:3-5, where it says, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the same comfort we ourselves have been received from God. And friends, believe it or not, what you're going through right now can be used to help someone get through what they're going to go through. So let's turn our eyes back to Jesus the way Beth just taught. When we don't know what to do, we can turn our eyes on Him, dive into the Word, call a friend, and just keep fighting our faith. So thank you, Beth, again so much for joining us. Listeners, thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next time, next week, on another episode of Coffee with Kim. Goodbye, everybody. Bye, Beth. Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you, Kim. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
To learn more about Kim's books, teaching materials, or to invite Kim to speak at your event, please visit kimcrable.com. Thank you for joining us today. And remember, to learn more, please visit kimcrable.com.